You can listen to this podcast anywhere, even in the shower. From Ream, Australia's favourite hot water.
Talk about sex rearing its ugly head. The birds and the bees.
You dirty, dirty boy.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about sex.
All right, let's get into it. Hey, a bad sex life. This is, and I'm quoting a study now, a bad sex life in middle age raises men's risk of dementia. So a new study suggests. So we all know that a bad sex life can lead to relationship problems and may raise the risk of heart disease. But scientists at Penn State University say that it could also leave men at higher risk of suffering dementia. Now, this is a study that involved nearly 1,000 men in their 50s, who were tracked for more than a decade.
Wow. Jeez.
If I got a couple off in a decade, that'd be considered a victory. And scientists found that those who had poor sex life showed faster decline.
What?
I'm sorry to hear that, MG. It's supposed to be tragic for you.
I need to take this piece of paper that I've got in front of me, go straight home and show my wife. Say, darling, it's scientific
health.
Evidence that we need to go a lot more.
Don't say it like that.
Okay.
Because your chances will diminish quickly.
Diminish.
I mean, this is good news for me. It means I'll probably get reverse dementia.
Yeah, you can't. You find me.
Hey, Tash, just out of interest, how's Glenn's mental?
Have you noticed I've just been very quiet?
Keep reading. You're about five paragraphs ahead of us at the moment.
I'm doing a deep dive into this. So it involved 818 men in their 50s. Well, by 50, you're past your use-by date anyway.
Oh, come on, man.
How dare you?
How dare you? Send me your office.
It means we should maintain an active sex
life.
That's
right.
Any way you can. Even masturbating in a park probably helps in a strange way.
There was even once a survey came out saying that it was good to get rid of the flu. And it was actually, the research was conducted by a cold and flu tablet company and was conducted by blokes. I've heard every excuse in the books.
So who's conducting this one then?
I don't know, but I'm guessing it's blokes.
It's blokes,
Wow, mental dementia, eh? Joe Biden must have had a root since 1970. All right, Sweden has declared sex a sport.
Oh,
and are going to host a competition. Wow, there's some Olympic rings I don't want to see.
The pay-per-view will go through the roof.
Pay-per-view? To sex as a sport. Do you reckon Foxtel will ever
have a dedicated
channel?
Main event will.
Doggy Style 360. Yeah, nightly show. See, Sweden, do you see Sweden as experts when it comes to sex, maybe, but not sport. So Sweden declared sex a sport and will host the first ever sex competition. The participants will engage in sex sessions, which can go up to 6 hours daily. Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
This is good for your dementia.
A panel of judges will decide the winner. Oh, like that'll be like the diving. 6.5 from the Romanian judge. Tagged the European Sex Championship. The competition will start this week. Well, it's too late to enter and run.
Are you covering this, Tash?
Why am I breaking this? Why aren't you breaking this story?
I've actually yet again been reading the details. This is interesting. The final decision on the winners will consider a number of factors. The chemistry between the couple, you can't fake that. Knowledge about sexual matters as well as endurance level. So you just you have to perform on a number of different levels.
A lot of dirty talk on the podium. They could have a threesome on the podium.
Yeah, that's right. One, two, three.
That's immediate disqualification.
Why?
And I tell you what, normally I like turning up to sporting events in tracksuit pants. I'm not sure this is the one. And if you want a streak, you've got to run onto the ground with clothes on. Would you put your hand up for this, guys? You're a sportsman, MG. Would you? Can you perform in front of a crowd?
I think so. Yeah, I think I think this is a sport I want to give a go to. I think
I could go. Yes,
I'd report on it.
You'd report on it?
Yeah.
Be a bit like one of those poolside reporters? Like, how close to the action? How close to the action? Have you got those immediate, those post-coital interviews?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're the funniest interviews.
And they're both going...
That's right. They're puffed again. The funniest interviews are poolside when they get there, and those guys, you just swam 1,500 metres, their lungs are coming out their ears. How do you think it went? Pretty good. I'll be good at that. I mean, we've all been booed during sex, haven't we? Natasha Belling put her hand up to do some bedside interviews.
No, poolside interviews.
Like the poolside. Like the poolside.
Like the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called the European Sex Championship. So I've just come back. You know, I'm always on the job just doing interviews. So take a listen to some of the interviews. Very emotional.
That was after 6 hours, too.
There you go. Above and beyond you go to get the story. We're still talking about sexually related matters. There's a 123-year-old woman has revealed why she's still a virgin.
Whoa.
Well, that's 123-year-olds. That's a long time. Girls, I'm guessing that ship sailed for you too.
Yeah, that's well and true. I'm picky, but I'm not that picky.
Wow. The bar's too high.
She's setting the bar too high. Yeah. 123-year-old Kenyan woman has said no, she's never had sex. She's never even seen the nakedness of a man, as she calls it.
Wow.
Now, I'll stand by. I'll give you an eyeful. How disappointed is she going to be when she gets her first look? Oh, I bet you it's really sexy. I bet you it looks great down there. Here, fling open the rope. What the hell is that?
I waited a century for this.
What is that? Yeah, I made the right call. I'm going to go another 123 years. Why would you look up? She goes, I've never seen nakedness from a man for 123 years. I've lived with an unfulfilled desire, a deviant hope, and a courageous spirit of waiting that one day a man will emerge and embrace my soul. Nah, not happening.
No.
She's tired of living a bored and lonely life. Well, get amongst it. You know, bing, bang, boom. Wait a minute. Check, please.
That's a long
time. Hang it, well, no, they're going to have to put down a drop sheet in the nursing home. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to go off.
Like a
cracker. Hey, here's another story for you, girls. Disgusting reason you shouldn't sleep naked in bed. This is an expert from TikTok, so take it with a grain of salt.
Let's cross the TikTok. General
you manager. Should sleep with clothes on is less risky. Here's why you should never sleep commando. The average person cracks one off. I'm talking about farting here. 15 to 20 times a day, and this can happen when you're sleeping. A scientific study has proven that every time you beep the old horn, you spray a tiny amount of fecal matter.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that would explain why my bed sheet looks like the Shroud of Turin.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yuck.
Wow.
Oh, Mick, no. You've got to change your sheets.
Yeah, well, so would that be, what are the health implications of a Dutch oven then?
Oh, that's devastating.
That is enjoying this story, are you, Tash?
Well, do you know we were chatting about this beforehand, and Josh, one of our producers, had brought up the topic of, I possibly shouldn't mention his name, but anyway, we'll call him Josh.
He dubbed him in.
Said a friend of his didn't wash his bed sheets for three months.
That is disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Josh, the company you keep, foul. Yeah,
it's once a month. I think it was him.
That's standard operating procedure.
What?
How long have you gone? No, I wonder, how long have you gone, Mick, without washing your sheets?
A long time because I usually put down some plastic.
Tarp it like crime Dexter.
A bit of a tarp. some plastic on the walls for and a bit of police tape out the front. and away you go. Wow, so don't sleep naked. Imagine
with a 123-year-old woman either.
Oh, what do you not want him to say?
Oh. All right, we're done.
I think so.
And joining us in our Melbourne studio is the star of Utopia, which this Wednesday fronts up for business again, 8 p.m. on the ABC. One of the smarter offerings on Australian TV. The star joins us right now. It's Rob Sitch. How are you, Sitchy?
Hi, Mickey. Hi, MG. Look, I've already had good news and bad news on your show. The Foo Fighters are out here, and then I've got an explanation of why I'm going senile. So that's really good. I was struggling with Wordle yesterday, and I went, this isn't that up. The word was taste. I mean, that's not that hard.
Now it's all making perfect sense.
I got to the sixth guess and it went phew. You know when it goes phew? the editorial.
It's a warm welcome back for Utopia. It's a show that just keeps on giving. I think I, like a lot of people, sit, read the papers and watch the news and just go, well, this will be great raw material for Utopia. Do you get a lot of offerings from the general public? When you're walking around, do people solicit you with ideas for this show?
Occasionally they'll walk up and go, oh, I used to be in government, and they'll give you a high title, and they go, mate, it's worse than you think.
Yeah, you're not even touching the sides.
When you research it, it's pretty easy because all you do is you put in your topic, you know, the Snow Mountain Hydro scheme, and you just add the word blowout. And then
indeed. Well, it just keeps giving the government. So we're looking forward to offering you. We've got Limo on the program today, also one of the stars of the show. How did it go getting a performance out of a block of wood like Limo?
Well, Jane Wett was interviewed by Limo on a radio station one day and just went up to him afterwards and said, have you ever thought about acting? And Limo went, not lately. And he said, I'd love to cast you in something. And so it started from there.
But started from there. Well,
he's got a natural style, Limo. We funnily enough, in the first series, we gave his character an office.
Yeah.
When we filmed his office, we realised that was the dumbest thing. Those guys never have offices. They have phones, and they just float from sort of government driver to government driver. You never know where they live, who they hang out with.
Yeah.
How's the anticipation? I mean, for you, who is the star of the show, and you've got something really massive coming on at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, how's the apprehension? What kind of nerves do you feel when you're doing the circuit now, you're talking to all these radio stations, but on Wednesday night at 8 p.m, what are the feelings you go through?
I thought it's like watching your sporting team in a close match. You leave the room. That is my tactic. Yeah. The funny thing is, for the first time in my life, Mark, I was going past the newsstand and we were on the cover of TV Week.
Oh.
And it was under. It was under Home and Away's Must Watch Week. there was a bomb drama above me, and down below it was Tony's freeway headache.
Oh, you've made it. You've made it.
I totally made it. Funnily enough, it's been a big gap for us. Last series we did was 3 or 4 years ago, but eventually the ABC ran out of Scottish detective dramas. So
you got the call up. Well, you're one of the hardest working production companies in the channel, in the country. And you were also my first acting coach. Not many people know this, and I'm going back to the Late Show days. And my first, and I've reported this before, but I pretty much had P plates on, and MG, these guys took me under their wing. But I remember my first, one of the first lines I ever had in a sketch on The Late Show was during a little soap opera we called Dinkum Street, which always involved Tommy walking through the front door in a raincoat telling everyone it's raining cats and dogs out there. But I remember being woefully underprepared and standing at the bar, and I turned to Rob Sitch and I said, what do I do? And all you said, do you remember this? All you said was, don't move your head. That was, I swear, your acting advice. And I swear it was incredibly valuable because I sat there and did not move my head. But all of a sudden, I felt like a young De Niro. I really did.
Do you know the thing is, Mick?
Are you talking to me?
I think I also said, Mick, you're at a public bar. You're in your natural habitat. Relax.
And I just turned and glassed someone. And the rest is history. Rob, I reckon you've had great success over the years in predicting stuff that occurs afterwards. I remember an episode you did. I don't know which series it was in, but it was about the purchasing of submarines, and what good it would do for us. Did you know at the time that that would go on to become highly topical?
No, we didn't. But I, sort of when we go up to a Utopia series, I sort of read all the pundit, all the opinion pieces, and I sort of said to the guys, as far as I can tell, we're buying these submarines to protect our trading lanes yes. with China from China.
Exactly.
So we just dressed up a whole bunch of people in various military uniforms and had them stretch that explanation out over a long period of time. But at the moment, it seems like we're buying even more expensive submarines to protect us from TikTok. And I don't.
It's impossible. We can't be protected from that.
I don't understand how submarines are the difference. For some, someday someone will explain.
Well one, the biggest one we did was 7 or 8 years ago. We did an episode where we tried to think of the most absurd place to build a really expensive stadium, and it was in Hobart. And for those who in the rest of the country that may not have picked up on this, is a huge story in Tasmania. The government's backed at it for $700 million in Hobart. And I've rotated around the odd people I know in construction. I go, what's your final figure? And they're all 1.5, 1.8. I mean, it's going to blow out.
And they need a roof on that stadium, let's not forget. So there it is. You've had great success over the years. We look forward to what you're doing. I'm going to change stride quickly and ask you about your private life. I believe that you, I know you love talking about this stuff, but were you spotted swimming with the whales? Did you do that recently?
So about 5 years ago, I said to one of the kids who's got a telescope and, you know, they go through phases. I said, how about we go and see an eclipse? And the eclipse at the time was in like Raja Ampat in eastern Indonesia, and I thought, might be a bit of a heavy lift there, mate.
Yeah.
And so I said, oh, there's one in Australia in 2023. And I go, well, let's go to that. And about 6 months ago, he goes, how's the plans going for our trip? So it was in Exmouth. And so we packed up, got there, and I had to warn them before. I said, look, this is a long way to go. You know, it only lasts for 65 seconds.
Trying to
you travelled across the country for an eclipse. That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah.
It was. And how was it? Did they?
Was it great? So it stays bright. You can't, Jesus, because they give you these glasses and you look up and there's only like 3% of the sun left at one point. But it was cold and it was kind of a weird bird stop chirping and all of this. But the best thing is that it was a tiny little town and people from all over the world. It's famous for eclipse chases. People go all over the world. Someone had been to 18, including Antarctica. But the great thing is...
Someone sold their house. That's another nerd alert right there.
Describe the crowd to me, Rob. Yeah. So you've travelled across the country, Did you drive?
No, we flew, Michael.
Well, it's about
5,000 kilometres.
It's 3 days.
Oh, yeah. But that's good family
okay,
time.
So in this beautiful beachy environment, Exmouth, stunning place. But if you imagine F-Boy Island,
and then you
imagine the complete opposite F-Boy Island, that's what an eclipse is.
N-Boy Island is what
Nerd-Boy
Island. Now, is that where you swam with the whales?
We did.
Where did you swim with the whales? Over
just
there.
Off Ningaloo Reef. You go out in a boat, and these things are 20 feet long, 25 feet long, and you're looking down and they keep reminding you, look up, because I can't see it. And then you look up and it's like a great white, but friendly. So it's friendly.
I've always said I'm up for a whale watch. As long as I can crack open a harpoon. I just think if you're watching, you should be given the option, like the harpoon option, and you watch them and you swim with them, and then at the end you walk in the front of the boat and just crank
or at least
one
into
it.
A bag limit.
Harpoon and release, okay? That's what we'll
kiss them and release, yeah.
We thank you for your time today, mate, and we look forward to Utopia Series 5. First episode, what are we looking at? Paint a picture.
It's literally, it's an observation I made. There's a little stretch of freeway near my house that I went along for 6, 7, 8 years. Nothing changed. And I went, I wonder what the cause of that is. And so we tried to find out and couldn't find out because media, that we got, and we go, oh, that's the story. So that's, it's trying to find the cause of a delay.
I remember once Jamaica, which is not the most organised country in the world, and I went there, and there was, from driving back from the airport, there was roadworks at this one particular spot. I went back and visited Jamaica 8 years later, and I swear to you, the same little spin, and I just was laughing immediately. I went, God, I love this country. All right, Utopia, Wednesday night, ABC TV and ABC iView. We got Limo in later. I'll tell him what you said about him being a block of wood.
See you, Robbie.
Thanks, Mickey. Next, MG.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
Well, I got a study in front of me, and if this is true, I'm going to be very angry. Guys, a new study finds that garlic kills COVID and flu with 99.9% efficacy. Effectiveness.
Wow.
Now, as someone who spent 285 days in friggin' lockdown.
Yeah, good book. Yeah.
And now at the end of that, someone goes, oh, by the way, garlic will stop that.
Yeah, how good.
I am ropeable if this is true. Who's done this study?
Probably vampires.
Well, there you go. You know, you can kiss a vampire.
That's right.
They don't have COVID. No, they don't have garlic. Garlic wards them off.
Oh, that's right. That's the opposite. Yeah, okay. Opposites. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Garlic is a deterrent for a vampire, isn't it?
Yeah. Man, I feel like a vampire. I like the dark.
Yeah.
When I see the sun coming up, I scarper back to the sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
You know what I'm talking about, fellas?
I certainly do.
Back to the chamber. Back to the boudoir.
Vampires are horny. I feel like that's sort of something else in your bag. Vampires are always horny in every movie.
What's your prob bite you on the neck?
Yeah, see, horny all the time.
I've been bitten so many girls on the neck, I've been asked to wear a bucket. You know, like those dogs.
You know, the light shade.
Hey, that's how you ward off vampires. You don't need garlic. You just make them wear those buckets. Dogs. That dogs wear. Then see how sexy they are, Kat. Why are they so sexy? What about all your other
stuff?
They're
mysterious. We always, you know how women are. We think we want a nice guy, and then we end up with a guy with a big neck tattoo that lives in the dark. So
yeah, but what's the best? But they don't age. So within a few years, you'll be like a cougar.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You'll be way older.
And I don't think they discriminate. They'd still be interested.
I think maybe Glenn might be a vampire. Tasha's husband.
Well, I mean, if she looks like she's going to live forever. She looks like she's already got about 80 years under the belt. She's not here, is she?
No, she's not.
Why are vampires so attractive? Like, what about, what about your orc?
No.
You know, the orc from Lord of the Rings, what? You're not attracted to the orc?
Nope, definitely not. No.
What about a hobbit? You like a hobbit?
No, I'm six foot tall.
Too much hair on the toes.
I'd step on them and wouldn't even know it.
Too much hair on the toes.
Yeah, vampires, they've got a mistake.
Hobbit would go off in the sack, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh. They multiply like rabbits.
You know what they say about fat feet?
No, what?
No shoes.
Oh, no. A vampire, we're living forever. Would it take the edge off things? You just go, another day, another dollar. So. What am I going to do today? Another 12 Negronis. Great.
And then tomorrow I might do 80.
So garlic helps you, what is it?
The immune system, I would say.
You know what, there'll be anti-garlicers out there now.
Oh, totally.
Of course there will be.
You know, with their garlic conspiracy theories.
Maybe garlic lockdowns.
Information I could have used a few years ago, you dickheads.
Yeah, Dan Andrews.
It's Limo.
Limo. Hello, team.
MG saying he didn't know your last name.
Right, yeah. It's often people will call me either just Limo or Anthony Limo.
Yes.
Anthony Lima. It's Anthony Lehman is my full name.
Anthony Lehman, where's that from? Is that?
That's German. The Lehmans arrived in Australia in about 1840 something, I don't know, and spread across the country.
Did you make the Lib for a wine?
Any relation to the cricketers?
No, we're all in South Australia. No relation to Darren Lehman, no relation to the Lehman wine, and no relation to Troy Lehman, who played footy for Collingwood.
Wow. There's an obscure reference. So there you go, MG. You're back in the loop.
Right there. Hey, now, I may need to go into therapy because I turned on this morning at 7 o'clock, as I do every day,
good
guys.
On you, mate. Well done.
Big fan of the show. I love it. And there's sex talk on a Monday morning.
I know. We got off to a flyer, didn't we?
I tell you what, it really put a spring in my step at 7 a.m. this morning. Yeah. But I may need to wander into therapy after I heard MG make his sex noise this morning. How about this for 7 a.m.?
Darling, it's scientific
health.
Evidence that we need to go...
Oh, MG.
And that was to actual length.
I thought he was being a bit optimistic.
You should see his sex face.
I am very scarred by my parents who used to go, when I was younger, they used to say, we're just going in for a wrestle. And I went, okay. Then I hear,
going in for a wrestle.
Off they go. No, we tell them, that's good. Off the top and buckle or what?
So when they said wrestle, MG, did you know exactly what they meant?
Not until I got a little bit older. Not until I was about 8 or 9, I started to think, okay, well, they both come out sweating. Something's going on.
No one ever wants to see mummy tap out, eh?
No, you really don't. And did I hear you, Mickey, talking about the Sex Olympics in Sweden?
Well, it's a sex competition, which must take the form of an Olympics, I would imagine.
Do they drug test them? Because you wouldn't want to get on a blue pill.
That's doping. That's considered getting an unnatural advantage.
Indeed. And they have you mentioned a 6-hour marathon.
Yes.
And they get judged over the course of
that. 6 hours.
Is there a speed event as well?
That's right. I'm a short course man.
First past the bedpost.
That's right. I'm on the bell lap. Hey, we had Rob Sitch.
Yes, Utopia. Now, Rob mentioned with you guys this morning about, you were talking about Utopia's ability to predict the future.
Yes.
You were talking about submarines. And you mentioned the stadium down in Tasmania.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've got the clip. This is from an episode in 2014. This is season one of Utopia.
Right.
Where Rob's character put together a report on all the things that Tasmania could build or needs, you know, things like healthcare, education, roads upgrades,
housing,
you know, and he gives the report, and the stadium was the last thing mentioned in the report.
Yeah.
Gave the report to me and Kitty. So this is me and Kitty Flanagan, our characters coming back to Rob's character. We've had a chat to the Senate.
Yep.
We've had a chat to the people that matter. This is what we've decided.
Well, we've been right through the report.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, thank
tossed
you.
It around with the folks upstairs, and it's pretty clear what Tassie is crying out for.
Loud and clear.
Do tell.
A new stadium.
That's 14th.
Well, it's not in order of priority.
I did the report. It's in order of priority.
Well, it's highlighted.
By you.
So there it is. We were on it 9 years ago.
You were way ahead of the curve as always. It's a fun show to do, isn't it? And you do love it. And
it's great.
It's one of the great Australian programs. You get good feedback when you're walking around.
I tell you what you do, and you know, people will come up, the most common things people will say, have you got a listening device in our office? Do you tape our meetings? How do you know that we do this? I had a bloke come up to me once and at the Brownlow Medal and say, hey, who's your character based on? And I said, it's not based on anyone. It's just, it's just, he goes, no, we've got a bet going in the office. And he worked at the Department of Infrastructure and could have sworn my character was based on a real individual. This is how I get into character for my character, Jim.
Yeah.
He's got a motto. And let me know, listeners out there, I'm sure someone works with someone who's got the same motto. His motto is, a problem passed on to someone else is a problem solved.
Coincidentally, Utopia gets up and running for the first ep of Series 5 this Wednesday. Do you do a lot of study or background about office spaces and office politics? Can I just say this? Rob made an interesting point regarding your character. He said, firstly, they gave you an office, and then they decided your character would never have an office. And he goes, because, you know, some of those types, so you just know nomadic and never have an office. I go, well, kind of like me.
I'm that kind of procrastinator who just wanders around. You know, my nickname in Utopia could be Sensolite. Right? Only works when someone walks past.
So what have you noticed in your studies of office politics?
Yeah, well, my character, deeply annoying. Okay, so my character's the type of guy who, instead of inviting you into a brainstorm meeting, he'll invite you into a thought picnic.
I'm not going to a thought picnic.
That is a red flag. You know you're dealing with a massive knob when they invite you into a thought picnic. So what I've got, and this applies for every single workplace in Sydney, so it doesn't matter if you're in the city, you're out of Penrith, wherever you are, I'm going to give you the 10 types of people in every workplace.
Fire away.
And have a think about your workplace and see where it applies. Well, for starters, there's the workplace gossip.
Hi, Natasha Billings.
Yep, where's Tash?
They know everyone's relationship history. They know who's on Tinder, who's on Bumble, who's on Grindr.
She always claims to be a vault. You wouldn't need to be a safe cracker to get in that vault. Door is wide open.
And often the office gossip will have a novelty coffee mug that says zero to bitch in 2 seconds. Or they'll have a coffee mug that says world's best co-worker.
Okay,
next up's the jokester, the person who's always cracking jokes around the office, and they're really funny, often dad jokes. Yeah. There's the charity king, the MG.
MG, you're in the neighbourhood.
There's the charity king or queen. They're always asking you to donate money to or get involved in a skip-a-thon or a read-a-thon swim-a-thon or something like that.
What about Dangerous Dave from Triple M in Melbourne?
Yes.
Who actually, you know how they put the chocolates out? Where you just take them and you... Their money. He took them and put an IOU in.
Oh, you can't!
He put an IOU in. He goes, I'm not got no money on me, but he pretty much stole from kids with no money.
He took medicine out of sick kids' mouths.
He did it. It would have been a death toll thanks to Dangerous Dave in Melbourne.
Right, there's the pretend workaholic. Now, you know this person, they deliberately send emails at 11 p.m. or 6 a.m. just to let you know they're working at that particular time. They could be down the pub, but that's what they do.
Sure.
There's the procrastinator, which is the Jim My character in Utopia. The kitchen slob. They just make a mess everywhere. Never clean it up.
Mickey.
Right.
I just walk away. You know what I've seriously thought about at home? Just stocking, like, paper plates and stuff. So you just have a meal and they just put everything in the bin.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
How good would that be?
I always thought that'd be a good idea for a wedding, just to save on
that's
cost.
A good idea.
There's the rulemaker.
When do you get married? Let's not get into this now.
That's for another time.
Took Peter Barley to go to his fake wedding.
Anyway. Yeah, we're not actually married, but that's a story for another time. There's the rulemaker. Now, these are the people that always print out things on A4 bits of paper. They'll put it up in the kitchen that says, "Dear fellow staff members, we haven't been able to employ a dishes fairy, so please clean up your dishes yourself." There's the hypochondriac, the person who's always sick. You can call it nickname Muffler because they're always exhausted, right, around the office. There's the party animal. Now, they're the person who always tells you exactly how many beers they had, how many shots they had, when they went out, what time they got home.
That's our entire production staff here.
You all are ragers.
And finally, it's the office whinger. This is always the person who's complaining.
This is Cat.
Often the office whinger is also the printer or photocopier ninja. You know, there's one person in the office who can fix every issue with the photocopier or the printer, and they always give you attitude when they do it.
This is the old A315. /Z.
Oh, come on.
Stand back, everyone.
JAM21C, are you an idiot? You can't unblock that.
Hey, anything else to plug? We know Utopia's up and running. You got any Sydney-based gigs?
Not at this stage, but I will have very, very soon gigs in Sydney. I'll keep you posted on that front. But Utopia, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. on the
ABC. Good on you, Limo. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
There's a big story going around. An MP new to Parliament, the Liberal member for Sydney, seat of Ryde, has used his first speech to Parliament to argue that the 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. school schedule is obsolete, no longer relevant, and even sexist. What do we need to know, Natasha Belling?
Okay, first of all, I want to call this out with the media coverage of this. They're saying that's going to make life easier for working mums. Well, there's a sexist attitude. It's not about working mums. It's about all parents. You know, childcare needs to be sorted for both mums and dads and any type
of parents. In their defence, he's the one who referenced mothers, and in particular his own partner, who said the original schedule was built when women were staying at home and men were in the workforce, and now this would be more advantageous to those women.
Yeah, but it would be also a huge advantage for dads as well, because the responsibility of dads with childcare is just as important as mums.
Stop nagging.
What about the poor kids?
Little less chit-chat from you.
6 p.m., come on.
Love some sexism on a Monday morning.
But I think we're confusing his intention and the actual meaning.
Yeah.
Of what's your beef? I don't quite get it.
My beef is when we're talking about childcare, and MG would be on the same page as me here, we shouldn't say it's a responsibility of mums, because mums are going back into the workforce. Childcare is an issue that should be a family issue, not directed particularly to women or mums. So when we're talking about putting longer school hours in to deal with childcare, it's great for the whole family, not just for mums.
Okay. In an ideal world, that would be true.
Yeah,
I'd put it to you, mums probably still do.
Sure.
More. I'm going to go to school pick up tomorrow, and I'm going to do a survey, and I'm going to bet you 80% of the people in the car park are mums.
Yep, I agree.
I do it every day, 50% great. Now. 50%
so my point is...
Men.
Oh, 50. Wow.
50% of dads.
Okay, and which schoolyard's that?
I'm saying that in some circumstances
in your rich northern suburb, is that what you're talking about?
No, I think it's great that dads have the opportunity for flexibility.
Of course it is. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that the hard numbers on the ground, I suggest, would suggest to you that more mums are picking up children than dads.
Anywho, they're pushing it forward for a school hours between 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and they're wanting to push this to go to 6 p.m.
Wow.
But what kid wants to stay at school till 6 o'clock?
Yeah, I spent most days in detention. Most days I wasn't getting home till 6 o'clock, let me tell you. And that 6 o'clock is good. Might be better for both mum and dad. Oh, I've got to be careful what I say now. I can't say anything on this topic now without getting in a lot of trouble.
No, you won't.
All right, I tell you what we do. Why don't we do? No, you raise a good point, and I possibly have overstepped the mark.
No, you haven't.
But why don't we put it to our listeners to go, does this help or not? Whether you're a mum or a dad, does 6 p.m. pickup help you, hinder you? Does it make life better? Will it be a game changer for you? And if you're a kid, give us a call and tell us how the idea of staying in school at 6 has no interest for you.
So that's am I getting this right? They proposed 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. for now in our school days.
Yes.
What, 5 days a week?
Yes.
That'll be the trade-off. Make it 4 days a week and you might get some interest from the kids.
Bloody oath.
Or 3 days a week.
Kids will drop out of school kids will drop out of school left, right and centre if it's... You're going to 6 p.m. Come on.
All right, the mums and dads are already on the line. 133353. Carol's on the line. What's your thoughts on the matter?
Morning, guys. Morning, Kat. I just want to know, what moron come up with this plan? Name me any kid on this planet that wants to stay at school for an extra friggin' 3 hours. It's hard enough to get them to school from 9 to 3. Now, also, too, didn't the government bring in this let's get kids off their big fat bottoms and exercise, you know, the sports vouchers, active vouchers? What about sport? When are they going to train? And when's homework going to get done? Good on you, moron. Great idea.
Carol, I believe, to be fair, that the MP who's suggesting this is suggesting that the afternoon be taken up with things like arts and sport and literature and things like that. So the sport would still be a part of that curriculum.
So who's going to do the sport? What about the kids that play, like, example, netball, footy, soccer? Whose team are they going to play for? So are they giving away their weekend sports for this?
Good question.
I don't know. I don't have all the answers. Natasha Belling does. Natasha, I don't know. I don't even know what the question is. Nico's on the line. Nico, what say you?
G'day, guys. I'm with Carol. I've got two kids in primary school and two kids in daycare, and I do most of the pick up and drop off. And if they're there till 6 o'clock, I'm not getting home until 7:30.
And can I say this? That cuts through happy hour as well, which is traditionally five to six. So all of a sudden, I'm out. So that doesn't interest you at all. It doesn't solve any problems for you at home, Nico.
Not in the slightest. You know, a little bit of occasional after school care, but you know, on demand.
Yeah, okay, good point. Scott's on the line. Scott, what are your thoughts on the matter?
G'day, Mick. I disagree. I've got grandkids these days. But 6 o'clock is bloody dark in wintertime these days. And then I don't know why the women bang on about the blokes up and pick it up. Like, why don't women want to pick the kids up anymore?
All right, well, you're on your own on that one.
Scott said that, Tasha. Sure. Not me or Mick.
I'm not saying there's steam coming out the ears of the girls in this room, but the windows are fogging up. You make a good point. If it was 1935.
I think Scott was a member of the Sullivans.
Scott remembers the good old days. Jennifer's on the line. Jennifer, what's your thoughts on the matter?
Morning, all. Look, this is beyond crap. It's end of story. Oosh, and after school care is there if people need it. My kid does music tutoring. He does OT. My daughter does OT. We do sports in the afternoon, like soccer and swimming. We do so many things in the afternoon. The kids are there till like 4 or 4:30. My partner does most of the pickups because we're both full-time workers. And the day that he's in the city, I'll pick the kid up and do things. Did people already complain about traffic? Can you imagine 6 o'clock peak hour school pickup as well?
Imagine that with 40k limits around schools. That'll be great for traffic flow. Yeah. Can I say this? I know a few teachers, and they already get a bit sick of the idea that they are
babysitters
and child minors. Often, and this is true, I know men and women who will send their kids to school sick because they can't afford childcare.
Wow.
So they go, you know what, I can't get someone around to look after, we've going to work today. Mm-hmm. I know I probably shouldn't, but I'm sending my kid to school. Kid goes to school with flu or cough or cold and bang, next thing you know, everyone's got it.
Mick and MG in the morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.